Testing, I'm muffled. Let's convert it to legal. I'm giving you all a chance to get yourself together. Are you all ready now? All ready now? Yeah, you all came off a little bit slow on that last one. Let me try it again. You all listen. Can you hear me now?
Amen.
I sound like an advertisement, don't I? Amen. Can you hear what I hear?
Amen.
Can you see what I see?
My Lord.
Do you know what I know?
Right.
If you knew what I knew, if you saw what I see, you would be excited right now.
Amen.
I mean, if you look and see where God brought me, I'm just going to talk about me for a minute, if you don't mind, where he brought me from, you would be excited.
Amen.
Nobody told me the road would be easy. They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today, but I'm still holding on. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. We'll find out reading in the 1st through the 7 verses. While you're getting that, giving honor to God the Father, to Jesus his Son, to the Holy Spirit who is assuredly present with us, to the shepherd of this house, our pastor, Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger. Thank him for the opportunity. We know he is tired. This man does so much, and I'm just amazed. If I had to do that being as young as I am, I'm about 40 years young. Well, not quite. Okay, 10, 20, whatever. It's just amazing the energy he has to do with all he does. To our first lady, only lady, Sister Stinger, to this choir, who is doing so marvelously, to our directors, to our musicians, to our officials, to our deaconess, our trustees, to each of you God's children, to my lovely wife of almost 30, what, 30? Did it make 30 yet? It's going by so fast, it's been too much fun. Is it 5 years, 6 years? To my new and improved Ricky Lane Jackson II, amen. To my son, who is grown and doing his own thing, I love it. Amen. It is so good to be with you all on today. The scripture lesson, 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. And I'm reading to you from the King James Version. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we came to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fighting, within were feared. Nevertheless, God, somebody say God, through comfort that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Let's go back to verse number 5. When we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Without were fighting, and within were fears. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you for just being God and God all by yourself. We know that you are indeed in control, and we thank you for being in control. We thank you for sending your word to the earth, for you said you would send forth your word into the earth, would not return to you void, but accomplish whereunto you sent it. We thank you in advance. As you give us your word, Lord, open up our eyes that we can see, our ears we can hear, our heart that we can understand. Hide me, Lord, who's so deep within the crevice of your cross or behind it, to none of me has seen it, but only you, and you get the glory. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name, and the church responded by saying amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today, for a little while, I want to talk with you from a subject entitled In the Middle of It. In the Middle of It. In the Middle of It. Now, it is past Thanksgiving, but almost Christmas. I guess we're in the middle of it. And it's amazing during those 2 days, days of celebration, that we find people are more depressed or down than ever before. Thanksgiving, a time of thanksgiving. And Christmas, a time to celebrate the birth of Christ, who brought salvation to the world. But during this time of the year, we find ourselves caught in the middle of it. It being a pronoun referring to something previously mentioned. In this, our text, it refers to something that got gotten the best of this individual involved. When we look at Paul and he writes about this, it refers to something negative, something that he cannot handle. Anybody been on Paul Street? I mean, in the middle of it, where you had a situation that you couldn't control by yourself. This Sunday before Christmas, almost the last Sunday in the year, looking back on a year far spent, every one of us can remember a time when we were in the middle of it. Am I by myself? I'm not alone. Can I take a poll for just a minute? Have you been in the middle of it this year? Right now, I believe I could probably take a poll and say, have you been in the middle of it today? And I get a pretty good showing. But even though we can count our many blessings, I can tell you, and we can name them one by one, I can assure you that just as sure as we can count them, we can count our many blunders and number them time and time again and find ourselves in the middle of it. As much as you have been successful, you have had some failures. I know it's been a good year, but it hasn't been all that good, right? So we found ourselves in play. If you examine your messy moments when you were in the middle of it, I think that you'll find that there are at least three truths that come to the forefront. One is others caused it. We caused it ourselves, but it was God who comforted us while we were in it. Is that fair? Now, I'm going to bear myself out, but let's walk through this text. This is where Paul finds himself this morning. Paul had planted and pastored the church at Corinth. And for several years, and now he was out. He had left the church, he had departed, but he had sent two letters back to Corinth. See, he had done some good and did some good work at Corinth, and so he had sent some letters back to Corinth. The first letter, he rebuked them because of their sinful living and lifestyle. Did y'all hear what I said? I say he established a church, but yet when he wrote back to the church in his first letter, he rebuked them because of their sinful living. And in the second letter, he responds to a situation because of his opponents that were at the church. It seemed that they had more to say about at the church than Paul had to say. Seems that the church was listening to those opponents more than they were listening to Paul. Let's walk through this because Paul's letters were stern and pointed out the wrong that Corinthians had done. In First Corinthians, it seemed that the spirit of the world was taking over the influence of the church. It seemed that they leaned more to what the world was saying do than what the Spirit of God said do. Now we don't have that challenge in our church today now, do we? It seems that we were more comfortable doing things that the world said than doing things that the Lord said. You know, the world tells us a whole lot. I find that we get more rights from the world than we do from the church. See, so he finds himself right into the church, and he talks about some things that they were doing wrong. Now, I want y'all to check this list out. Because he tells them, he said, wait a minute, there's some things that he talks about dissension. That's division in the church. Not here. Incest. Marital issues. This is talking about what's happening in the church. Liberty and responsibilities. And in 8:1, the lawlessness of eating things that had been offered to idols. Spiritual gifts and the church's order, resurrection of the dead, and money of the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. That's just right into those who were in the church. In 2 Corinthians, Paul opens the discussion about his ministry and the false teachers that was there. It seemed that some other folks had come to the church who had a different agenda than what Paul had. You know anybody who comes to church with an agenda? Nobody does that. But despite his good intentions in his letter, Paul finds himself a little bit edgy, a little bit concerned. He finds himself in the middle of it. You never did anything good, and despite your good intention, someone read it wrong? All you intended was to do good, but somehow, because of somebody's attitude, the way they look at it, they saw it the wrong way. Not here, I'm just saying, but here, he was leaving Ephesus at this time, and he wrote a letter to 1 Corinthians. Paul came to Troas. Look at where he's located. He left Ephesus. He came to Troas, where he stopped for a time. He had hoped that Titus would join him with the news of how the Corinthians had responded to his letter. But then at Titus, when he found it, Titus didn't show up, and Paul became even more concerned. So he left Troas and went to Macedonia, and then when he found himself there, he wrote his second letter. He is still concerned. I want you to see something here. While Paul left Ephesus and went to Troas and went to Macedonia, his position did not change. I said his geography changed, but his position did not change. See, in the first letter at Ephesus, in the second letter at Troas, in Macedonia, he did not change church. You can run, but you can't hide. You can church hop, and you can, until you drop, you can change your scenery, and it will only work if you are not the center of the person or the person that needs to be changed. Did y'all hear what I say? Sometimes we need to understand that the change needs to begin with us. We always pointing out somebody else's problem, but if we're going to have a better situation in our life, we got to understand the change sometime begins with us. So Paul, despite his change of location, despite his change of geography, he still had the same problem. Let me bear myself out. In 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, 12 to 14 verse, he said, "For as much when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was open unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I found that Titus, my brother, by taking a leave of him, I went from there to Macedonia." Now look at where he picks up in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, 5th verse. "And there we were come to Macedonia. Our flesh had no rest, but we were there troubled on every side. Without were fighting, within was fear." See, just because you leave somewhere and go somewhere else, some of us are busy running from what we need to be facing. Some of us are busy trying to hide from what we need to be dealing with. You know, you can fool some folk all the time. Y'all feeling? But you can't fool God anytime. He looks here and he said, "Wait a minute, I'm in the middle of it." While it was Paul's trouble in this particular text. Trouble don't last always. He said, "We were troubled on every side. Everywhere I turned, to my right, to my left, when I looked backwards or forward, north, south, east, or west, I was in the middle of trouble." Wow. You ever been there in your situation where it seemed like everywhere you turn, even if you take a degree, don't take a full turn, but just turn 10 degrees or 20 degrees, and you find that you still, everywhere you turn, there's trouble. You look up, there's trouble. You look down, there's trouble. Everywhere, trouble. Trouble don't last. Always. In fact, if we take a closer look at verse number 5, we see Paul continues to intimate that his position is a problem, because if we walk through the passage that we have this morning in our text, we find that he's somewhat challenged, because look at in verse 1, he says he's telling us to perfect holiness in the fear of God. That sounds strong, but in verse 2, he's asking the Corinthians to receive us. I mean, what do you want us to do, Paul? You ever been so confused you don't know what to say? One minute you're saying one thing, and the next minute you're saying he. In verse number 3, he's between humbly speaking not to condemn the Corinthians. To verse 4, he's exemplifying great boldness in speech. One minute he's speaking like a wimp, and the next speaking he's speaking all bold and stuff. Which one you gonna do, Paul? In verse number 5, he said, he's tired, his flesh had no rest. And in verse number 4, he had exceedingly joy and tribulation. I mean, which is it gonna be, Paul? He's in the middle of it. When you're in the middle of it, things get confused. You don't know what to do. Sometimes you ever tried to work it out by yourself? You ever tried to handle it by yourself, and one minute you try one thing and that doesn't work, and you try something else and that doesn't work, and you try something else and that doesn't work, and you look like you don't know what you're doing, which you really don't, but that it's your effort to try to handle it for yourself. Paul finds himself this morning, like we do too often, in the middle of it. And so he said, well, there's some things that we need to know when I'm in the middle of it. There's some things that cause, he said, within were fighting, without were fear. First of all, the first cause is they were without were fighting. Others caused it. Isn't it good to be able to point your fingers at somebody else as the original cause of your problems? Isn't it good to know that it wasn't me, it was them? Don't look in the mirror. This is about them. You the reason. You the reason. Whenever I can point my finger at somebody else, Paul here, he said, well, the real deal is, I mean, let's be honest, there's sometimes your trouble comes from somewhere else. Sometimes it's other folks that cause your problem. Paul, he was being real. He left the church at Ephesus, and he was there, left Corinthians, and he found that at Corinthians there were pagans. There were Jews, there were Gentiles, there were false brethren, there were false teachers claiming that they were being apostles. They joined the church, again, as I mentioned earlier, with the gist. They promoted their own ideas, and at the same time, they sought to discredit both the person and the message of the apostle Paul. They not only tried to have their own gist, they were trying to get their message. You ever been tried to win anybody? You know, this is a rhetorical question. You ever tried to win anybody over on your side when there's a disagreement in the church? I mean, whenever there was a disagreement, you ever tried to persuade somebody to be on your side, and you know, you take them out to lunch and y'all have a conversation about what's going to take place at that meeting, and then how you're going to behave at that meeting, and then, you know, how you're going to handle it, and you know, you maybe, you know, a little chicken will make a difference. Just a little chicken. Sometimes you might have to put some dessert with it, but Paul was having a problem Because there were people there who had their own agenda. The Hellenistic Jews had an agenda. The Gnostic or Docetic Jews had an agenda. The Palestinian Jews, they had an agenda. Paul fought those to defend the authenticity of the gospel. He said, you got to understand, sometimes you got to fight for what is right. So he was disturbed because he was fighting, because if he let them believe anything and they did anything, then that was on people. You remember the story about the watchman? He said, I called you to be a watchman, stand and cry loud. You think that you're going to get a pass when you see wrong and you don't say anything about it?
Amen.
Huh? Paul said, this is worth fighting for, because if I don't say anything, that the spiritual health and well-being of the church will be diminished or affected negatively. Mm-hmm. So he was without, he said, there was fighting. So around me, I got confusion around. Anybody? You ever had it? Around you? It seemed like in your house, on your job, in the community, at the church, there's confusion around you? Without, he says, I got fighting going on. And that would be enough, you would think. But then he acknowledges what we should acknowledge and not stop there, is that within, he said, were fears. As much as they caused it, I caused it. Mm-hmm. Within was fear. Paul noticed that he was anxious about the success of the epistle he had written to the Corinthians, and he sent Titus to go and find out the health of the church. Because Titus hadn't gotten back word to Paul, Paul got depressed.
Uh-huh.
Did y'all hear what I said?
Yeah.
The saint of saints, the chief sinner Paul, got depressed.
Yeah.
He was concerned that the letter he had sent, I'm concerned about how it's going to affect the church, when I know I meant to do well, but I'm not sure how they're going to receive my intentions. You know, you can tell the truth, and sometimes people don't want to hear the truth. Don't ask me if this dress make me look fat. If you want to hear the truth. I mean, maybe it ain't the dress. Now, that's the truth. You don't want to hear the truth. You don't want to hear the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Amen.
Paul was concerned that despite his intentions to deliver the truth, sometimes people can't receive the truth the way it's intended. We got to be careful how we got to know. This is why we have to discern and move when God says move, because sometimes we have the best intentions, but if we're not moving and doing it in God's time, we can offend folks by our truth.
Amen.
You cannot get a person right before they get right.
Amen.
The first thing we want folks to do when they walk into church, we want them to be saved and corrected and dressed like we dress.
My Lord.
Like as if your dress made you saved. I mean, when I say dress, I mean your dress, meaning your suit as well. I'm not just talking about a lady's dress. You act like that, that's going to make you, we got this thing twisted out. We think that the way we dress is going to get us in heaven. Ooh, I wish it were that easy. I wish it was that easy. I'm just saying, I would ask for some support and, you know, buy a better suit. I'm just saying, it would be. But Paul said he got concerned. His mind was wondering, and he feared the negative impact of his letter. He said, wait a minute, if they get this letter, And they don't like what it says, and they may turn away from me. And if they turn from me, they're going to turn to the folks that are there and start believing the people who are the pagans, the Jews that were there, that were trying to divert the truth. So Paul's situation was difficult at best. Nothing he did, God gave him any comfort or rest. He was troubled, he said, on every side.
Yeah.
Within were fighting, without were fears. The purpose, the passage struck me as interesting because this was Paul, the saint of saints, a Christian, the chief of sinners, the one we call, that we look to as our example, who said, follow me as I follow Christ. I hope I hear you. I hope someone hears it, because some of us, you know, despite who you are, every now and then you're going to experience some trouble. Every now and then you're going to be in the middle of it. You think that just because you got saved, you got a pass.
That's right.
Go directly to heaven? No, you're going to be in the middle of it. So I wonder if Paul is in the middle of it, and Paul is now expressing this concern to the Lord. My thinking was that, what would you think, that God would just immediately come to his rescue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at what God did. Instead, in the final analysis, Paul said, now, wait a minute. In the final analysis, it doesn't matter how we got in the middle of it, but what does matter is how we respond while we're in it.
Amen.
We're all going to be in it, but the issue is how we're going to respond while we're in it. Look at what he said in verse number 6 and 8. Nevertheless, God, somebody said, but God.
But God.
Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Look at what he said. Titus, when he showed up, I experienced some comfort, but it was God who sent Titus. I don't know if you got that. See, every now and then we got to understand the origin of our comfort. It doesn't come from that thing that you got, or that person that showed up, or that bill that you got paid off, but it was God. Somebody got to give God the credit that he deserved so God can keep being God in your life. You thought that because you got that job and because you got that paycheck that all of a sudden it was your money and your time that got you what you have, but it was God that did it, and it was God that brought you out. He was the one that picked you up when you fell down. God, Paul described all of his comfort. He said, I was in the middle of it, but God was the one that provided me comfort in the midst of it. And what was interesting here is God did not take Paul out of the middle. He comforted him while he was in the middle. See, some of us wanted to hear that, but you know how you watch these good movies and these shows come on and you know it's always going to be a good ending. And all of a sudden, you know, the good guy always wins. Golden State didn't win last night. I mean, I'm just saying, sometimes the good guys don't always win. In the movies, they get us twisted. They make us think it's always going to be a happy ending, that everything always works out fine. But last time I checked, there's Sunday, and then there's Monday. And then there's Wednesday, and then there's Friday, and then there's Sunday again, and then there's Monday. I hope y'all following this logic, because every time there's an up, there is a. Every time there's a down, there is a. You got to understand that you're going to go through some things, but that's all right. Wherever you happen to be, God is going to be there, and he will provide you. Come on now. Anybody feel comfort in their situation? But your real question is more than what does that have to do with what with me? Well, I'm glad you asked, because some of you sitting here today are in the middle of it. You're in the middle of something right now. You ran and you've gotten weary. You walked and you fainted. You've changed location and that didn't work. You waited your time and still nothing has changed. You're in the middle of something because you did the right thing for the right reason, even at the right time, but you're still in the middle of it. You're in the middle of it because of relationships where folks are not doing right. They were wasting your time and you're investing time and energy into it. Children will not do right. Jobs are not going right. The church is not doing what you thought it should be. You're calling it is not what you want to do. You do your work that you want, you're doing, but you don't want to do the work. The service that you're tired of rendering the service. You're in the middle of it. Your night has fallen and morning has not come. And the darkness has the darkest hour has broken, and yet daybreak has not come. You're in the valley of the shadow of death, and you're wondering what to do in the middle of your storm. And you're trying to, somebody here today is in the middle of it. You're in the middle of it because you thought that you were a Christian and that meant that everything was going to be easier. You thought if you got saved that something was going to change and everything was going to be all right. You're in the middle of it because you've been lied on. You've been talked about. You've been called everything but a child of God. And that's all right, because Paul says this morning, he said, I was not delivered out of my trouble, but God comforted me in the midst of my trouble. He said, don't be concerned about the troubles. The troubles are going to come, but that's all right. God never leaves. I don't know if somebody got that. I said, troubles will come, but God never leaves. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Church, we need a redeemer. We need somebody. If I'm in the middle, here's what we need. We need a middleman. Somebody say, I need a middleman. Anybody need a middleman? I need a middleman. If I'm going to be in the middle of it, I need a middleman. There was a cry made, said, I need somebody to go down and be a middleman. They checked the record for an appropriate middleman. They called on Abraham. He seemed like he'd be the right one. But this man, he was the father of nations. It seemed like he'd be the right one. But Abraham lied. He said, no, I can't use a middleman that lies, because that I might find myself lying too. They said, well, what about Noah? Can we use Noah? You remember Noah. Noah built that ark, but Noah, no. Noah got drunk, you know, surely after. If I have a middleman that's drunk, then it might be you get the picture. They said, what about Elijah? He slew 450 prophets of Baal. Well, no, he ran scared. And you know, we got enough scared folks right now. I can't use that. Well, what about Moses? He led the children of Israel, but you know he killed an Egyptian. Well, and he also got angry. And we got enough folks that get mad if the air goes off in the church.
Come on, preacher. Come on.
Can't use Moses. What about David? David, he was the apple of God's eye. He said, well, could use him, but you know, he also committed adultery. Well, somebody got the image of the middleman already, but you get the picture. Can't use David. But what about Job? Job was patient. Well, Job complained a lot, too. We can't use him. You know, the one thing I don't need when I'm trying to build my church is folks who complaining all the time. He said, well, if you, but Father, Jesus said, look here, I this is a lamb slain from the foundation. He said, I'll go down if you fix me a body. Because what's happening here, I'm so high you can't go over me. I'm so low you can't go over me. I'm so wide you can't go around. I don't know if anybody got that, but that's good news, because whether you're in the middle of it or not, we're good to know we got a God that's already right there. He's so high that your problem can't get too tall. He's so low that you can't get too low in your life. He's so wide that you can't go around him. He said, I'll go down, but you got to fix me a body. He said, he came down through 42 generations, born on that day we call Christmas, born in the manger. He got in the middle of the situation. How do I know? He split time, B.C. before Christ and A.T. after death. He hung on a cross for my sin. He paid debt for my sin. Got in the middle of my sin and said, I know if you pay your debt, you will die, but I'll pay the sins for you. He departed, went back to heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and today he gets in the middle of my situation. Every now and then I need the Lord. I just call on him in the name of Jesus. He didn't, not only did he stop right there, he sent me a comforter. He said, it's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I go away, I'll send the comforter to you. He sent me a comforter so that he dwell on the inside of me. So no matter what's going on, what might be going wrong, I've got some good news for you, church. God is right there. He said, I'll comfort you in your trouble. No matter what you're going through, you may have been lied on. You may have been talked about. You may have been called everything but a child of God. You may have children that's not acting right. A job that's not going right. A church that's not doing right. Work that's too hard. That's all right. We serve an almighty God. It may be impossible to you, but it's possible to God. You just put it in God's hand. Stop trying to work it out yourself, because if you try to work it out, one day you're going to be this way. The same day you're going to be this way. But if you put it in God's hand, God's got steady hands. How do I know he's got steady hands? He took the stars and put them in their socket. He put the moon in his place. He put the sun in his place. We've got a God that he said, the world is in my hand. The whole world is in my hand. No matter what your problem, God can solve them. In the middle of it. In the middle of it. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord in the point of your sin, I extend this invitation to you now. Get to know him for yourself. Let him get in the middle of your situation. Let him change you. Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're here today and you don't know him, it's very easy to get to know him. Confess and believe. That's all. You shall be saved. God will then let you know who you are. Right now you're going through because you don't know who you are. But if you get to know God for yourself, he will introduce you to yourself. That's a good feeling, church. I said, that's a good feeling. If you're here, perhaps, and you're visiting, you're looking for a church home so you can use the gift God has given you to use, this invitation also comes to you. If you're saved and you need to work, this place is a good place to do it. The harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. If you're here, I invite you to come as well. Those who are not saved, I invite you to come. Those who are saved but looking for a place to use the gift God has given them, I invite you to come as well. If you're here, this is your invitation. God can work it out. God can make you comfortable in a bad situation. No matter how hard it is, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. You just yield and give it over to him. There's still time, church. Don't look at anybody else. This is all about you. This is all about you.
Faithful.
God is faithful.
Faithful.
Maybe you can't handle it by yourself, and you probably can't, but God is faithful. He's faithful, church. I tried him for myself. reaping the harvest God promised me. Taking back what the devil stole from me. I rejoice today. I cannot. Hallelujah. I rejoice today. I shall recover it all. Is there still time? There's still time. There's still time. If God's knocking on the door of your heart, He's saying, come. If you're here, I encourage you to come. I beg you, I plead you, come.
Holy.
We serve an awesome God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you.